We're going to continue in worship with the reading of our scripture. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 22. It can be found in the scriptures in the New Testament. Hear these words. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices partners in the altar? What do I imply then? That food sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be partners with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Or are we provoking the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? This is the word of the Lord for people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together, for the opportunity to be in your presence with brothers and sisters in the faith, to hear a word from you and to be reminded of your great love that you have for us as your children. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we would hear with joy what you say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Tables. In our home in Beeville, where I grew up, the table we ate at most was not the big dining room table, but it was like this little breakfast nook bar thing that set our family of four, and we would gather there as often as possible and have dinner together when we're not scattered with sports or something else. But when we did gather at the table, we would usually talk about sports, life. We had ostriches that we could see from the dinner table, and so we could talk about the ostriches and see how they were doing. We had a couple. One was named King Tut, and the other was Queen Nefertiti. And you could tell we came from an Egyptian family here, right? We talk about if they laid any eggs, and in my family, my parents would send me into the ostrich pens to get the eggs. And so my dad would kind of distract King Tut down the fence line, and I would jump over the fence, grab the egg, and jump back. That was my job. Yep. Now I live in Austin. In Elgin, outside Austin, when I was working there, I was often invited to eat at the dinner table of the McLeans, and it was a standing invitation they gave me, and I knew dinner was usually going to be around 6, and so I'd get a message at, 5:30, are you coming for dinner? And so, but I knew that my place, my chair, my plate was always going to be ready if I wanted to be there. This table was a good time to talk about how things were going and where I needed some support. Over the last 20 years of ministry, I've been invited to sit at tables to plan different events, tables to plan weddings, tables to plan funerals. Every family has a table story. Some tables are tables of celebration. Some tables are tables where difficult conversations happen. Some are places where identity is formed. You see, when you sit at a table regularly, you become part of that community and are shaped by the conversations and memories that are shared together in those moments. The table represents a space where relationships are forged and deepened, and experiences are knit together. Tables represent belonging. Every table teaches us who we are and whose we are. The scripture for this morning, discipleship requires choosing which table shapes our lives. Which table shapes our lives? Tables in the Bible often signify God's provision, covenant, and fellowship with his people. They serve as reminders of his faithfulness and the communal aspect of worship and relationship with God. Whether in the context of a meal or a sacred offering or a spiritual truth, tables underscore the importance of communion with God and with one another. And so throughout the scriptures, we see different tables that are mentioned. The first table comes in Exodus 25. We read about the table of showbread. And this table was a sacred piece of furniture which held the 12 loaves of which held 12 loaves of bread representing the 12 tribes of Israel. It symbolized God's continual provision and presence with his people and was a reminder of his covenant between God and Israel. A table that we mention is in Psalm 23. You prepare a table before me, King David says, in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. This table represents provision and protection. In the New Testament, we read about a few tables in the context of Jesus' ministry. In Matthew 21, of how Jesus overturned the tables of money changers in the temple, expressing his desire for purity of worship as we bring our hearts to join with God's heart in community and gratitude. In Luke 5, we read about Jesus dining at the table with Levi, the tax collector. In Luke 14, we read about the parable of the great banquet, in which Jesus tells that the master invited guests to the table, but they were too busy or consumed by many things. They began to make all kinds of excuses, and so the master sent the servant to go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and to bring in the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind. And when there was still room, the master sent the servant out again and said, go out into the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. Tables. As we continue in this series, No Other Gods, we've been talking about the dangers of idolatry as we live out our faith in this world. In the first week of the series, I had this definition that it says, an idol is anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, and anything you seek to give you what only God can give. So in this morning's scripture, Paul is warning the Corinthian church against against idols. The Corinthians were risking defiling their faith and straying away from teachings of Christ by participating in both the Lord's table and the table of demons or idolatry or evil. And so Paul says you cannot drink from both places. As Paul speaks, he emphasizes the importance of staying away from idolatry and partaking in pagan sacrifices. He urges the community to flee from anything that could lead them away from the one true God. And so Paul desires for the church of Corinth and for us today to understand their actions and our impact and how they are in relationship with our relationship with God. You see, discipleship requires choosing which table shapes our life. And Paul's urging us to commit to God and to draw from those things that separate us. And so just as the Israelites were commanded to have no other gods before the Lord, we are reminded that our loyalty cannot be divided between God and worldly pursuits. That we make a decision and a choice about serving God or serving those things that draw us away. In our context today, it's a little different. Idolatry comes in subtler forms. Maybe it's material wealth. Maybe it's career success. Maybe it's putting more into things that chasing after things of this world. Maybe it's even the pursuit of validation on social media or other ways. These modern idols, though intangible, can wield a powerful influence over our lives. They can dictate what we say and how we behave. They can draw us away from our true source of fulfillment and purpose. A table that Jesus desired to shape all of our lives is one we get to partake in each and every week. This table. We're reminded of God's sacrificial love and our interconnectedness as we are members of the body of Christ. This table reminds us of both the individual and communal aspect of our faith, the importance of fellowship and support on our journey. This table, through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the bread and the cup, reminds us of our connectedness with Christ and with one another, of our shared identity and our role in nurturing our faith. Even though we are many, we are one, for we all partake of the one loaf. By embracing these truths of the gospel, by aligning our lives with Christ and with God's will, we can navigate the challenges and the complexities of our modern world with both steadfast faith and unity and devotion. This table reminds us that God is with us, that God is in us as the body of Christ. In our church, we're reminded that no one is too far gone to be welcomed at the table, that all are welcome. All of us are in need of God's grace. As we go through our week, as we look around the world, everyone is at a table. People are there. The question is not whether we belong, but the question is, what table is shaping our life? Which table is forming our decisions? True disciple requires us choosing which table that is. Not merely about just good food or good food, but it's about sharing in the love and the grace and the care that God pours into our lives, bringing us together in unity and joy. Sharon, our office manager, does a good job of picking my brain before each week's sermon. So on the back, on the flip side, there's some different food for thought for this week. Invite you to look at that. It says, every table we sit at literally or figuratively shapes us, often without us noticing. We've all heard the saying, you are the company you keep, but Paul reminds us it's more about more than reputation, it's about formation. The people and the voices we welcome into our lives quietly shape what we value and who we're becoming. And so as you look around the tables to which we belong, you belong, I belong, who's present? Who's present at those tables? Who isn't there? As we go about our week, I invite you to think about who is God calling you to invite to your table, to sit beside you, to experience God's love, and to share in God's grace. Let us pray. God, may you give us eyes to see and hearts that are open to looking about and being reminded of the tables that we've been at and the tables that you are calling us to be a part of, and to look at how we might best serve you with our life. How, as we go about our days, God, may we be attentive to your Spirit and how you are calling and shaping us to follow you. How you're calling and shaping us to invite people to know you and your grace that you have for them and the hope that you are for the world around us. God, we're sorry for when we look the other way, when we say the table's full, there's no more chairs. May we be always ready to make the table bigger so that all have a place as we do. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We pray all this in Christ's holy name. Amen.